from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Browns Cowboys coming up on Sunday, 4:25. It's America's Game of the Week on Fox. Of course, if you ask The Athletic, they took a poll. They said, you guys aren't really excited for it. Of the hope-o-meter that The Athletic ran, where they had 12,000 fan participants, the Browns came in ranked 28th in fan optimism. 28th, a team that was in the playoffs last year.
Ridiculous, Kenny.
The Saints, the Giants, and the Dallas Cowboys are behind them. The Cowboys, who were 12-5 last year. To talk about this team where these two fan bases have some high standards. Brad Sham joins us right now, the voice of the Cowboys and the Cowboys Radio Network on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Brad, it's an honor. It's a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So what type of Cowboys team are we going to see? Because guys from afar, like, we're outsiders, Brad, so we pay attention to the Mike McCarthy, Jerry Jones-isms and the back and forth, and CeeDee Lamb on Twitter and the whatnot. What type of Cowboys team is this going to be this year when it actually comes down to playing football?
Well, paying attention to anything on Twitter is the beginning of your problem. So you got to fix that before I don't think anybody really knows for sure, and that's reflected in that poll that you're talking about. I have been doing this. This is 46 years now, and I don't recall a time that I have seen such a negative fan base. Now, let me just say that I think this is a really fickle fan base. I've said this many, many times. I think it's a very fickle fan base to begin with, especially the ones who live down here. And some of that comes with a lot of championship contention that went on for the better part of 30 years. And so now they're at a point where just being good and having a good, entertaining team to watch that's in contention, that's not good enough anymore. I think that's a societal problem, but that's not what you asked me. You know, part of the uncertainty is about the number of good players who left, and there were several who they would have liked to have kept, but they've got salary. They got some salary cap issues, knowing that they had a deal to do with Lamb, which they've done, and the ongoing conversations with Dak Prescott, which don't affect his availability now, and then the fact that there's an extension available for Micah Parsons on the horizon next year. Fans are not interested in the salary cap, and that's fine. That's they're entitled to not be interested, but as a result, they had a number of players who were good players who left, and they did not sign very many veteran players to replace them. And so you're left to kind of, if you're a fan, you're left to hope that the players that were drafted will take up the slack, and hope is not a plan. So they think, and, you know, I was at training camp, but seen all the practices. I mean, it looks like their rookies are going to make a contribution, but the first month is liable to be a little rocky while they get things straightened out. And then whatever the league's attitude toward running backs is, you know, fans are great. They can, on one hand, say, don't pay a running back. And then when you don't have one who looks like the lead back, they say, well, you don't have a running back. So they've got a real question mark. Doesn't mean that they're going to be a negative, but they've got a question mark about how the running game is going to be and how the running back labor is going to be divided. I mean, I think they are a competitive team over the course of the year. Who knows what will happen Sunday? But I think they've got a chance to compete for a playoff team, to be a playoff team. Another thing that goes into the uncertainty is you've got a pretty significant philosophical change in one of the coordinators. So Dan Quinn, who did a great job here for 3 years, obviously left to become the head coach in Washington. And Mike Zimmer, who has a terrific track record in the league, including here, came back as defensive coordinator. I've known Zim for a long time. I think he does a great job, and he's what they needed. But his system is different than what they had. And now they've lost Deron Bland, a cornerback who had a really good year last year. He'll be out for a month. And so there's a lot of question marks. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that's why you watch sports. But football fans are really interesting. They want everything decided immediately, and that's not real in the NFL. So what I expect Sunday is a really good game. I mean, look, Kevin Stefanski, I don't have to tell you guys, guy's the coach of the year using four quarterbacks. That's unheard of. And without Nick Chubb for a big hunk of the year. You can't be coach of the year and have a playoff team and four quarterbacks. We've had years down here where they've had to go through four quarterbacks, and they have not been playoff years, I'll guarantee you. So, you know, I think it doesn't matter what the fans think, and the Browns players and coaches and the Cowboys players and coaches both understand that can be used as motivation.
All right, we're talking to Brad Sham of the Cowboys Radio Network with us on the hotline. So Dak Prescott, second in MVP voting a season ago, and yet it seems like he's one of the guys that get talked about the most in the NFL when it comes to pressure and whether or not he can do this job to the optimal levels for the Dallas Cowboys. Is there a disconnect there?
Sure, in my opinion. There's a disconnect between national media motivation and reality. So it's a fact that he has not had playoff success. That's an irrefutable fact. And I like people down here who say, well, I wouldn't pay him $60 million. Well, it's not your money. But I always say, when I get in these conversations, I always say, all right, that's fine. You don't want to pay him that money. Who in the league who is starting now would you take over him? And if you're generous and allow for some people to take a guy where they'd be debate, I can't get past six or seven who I would take over Dak. So he knows, every quarterback knows, every head coach knows, until they have post-season success, they're not going to be taken seriously. And the clock is running on the guy in Buffalo and the guy with the Chargers, because now those, you know, Allen has at least taken his team into the championship game. He's gotten close, but he won't be judged by that by his critics ultimately. All I can tell you about Dak, well, first of all, all the commentary nationally, this team is probably the most hated team in professional sports. I think you could throw another couple in there, but I really think overall this is the most nationally hated team by fans outside of its geographical area. And therefore, people love to talk about them so that they can say bad things about them. And the people who run the television networks know that if you talk about them, that you'll get attention. It's eyeballs and clicks. They talk about Prescott way out of proportion to anything that makes any sense for their audience, but people want to hear about it and they want to talk about it, and the guys who run the TV networks know that, and that's fine. They're doing their job. He's a good quarterback. Is he a great quarterback? I don't know. I could insult a lot of people by saying, well, Peyton Manning hadn't won a Super Bowl at this point in his career. You know, Aaron Rodgers has won one, been in one, and on and on. And that's irrelevant. The quarterbacks and the head coaches are judged by how they do after the regular season's over. And the fact of the matter is, whether it's his fault or not, Dak knows that he has not won in the playoffs. I think he's one of the top six or seven quarterbacks in the league, and I think he's just coming off his best training camp. I've seen all of them, and I think he's coming off his best one. And it's still everybody around him who's got to play to give him an opportunity to be good. But, yeah, I mean, there's a big disconnect, I think, between what people talk about, especially in the national media, and what makes sense to me. But that's the nature of the business, guys. That's why you guys have this show. You
Brad,
know?
Brad, how often do you get a chance to talk to Jerry Jones? Does he ever text you during a broadcast or after?
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding? No. No, there's a big misrepresentation about the degree to which he is a meddler. I think on the football side, he does have an investment, and he's part of that discussion maybe more than some people would like the owner to be, but he's also made himself the general manager, so he has, although he hasn't done the heavy lifting in running the team on a daily basis, in many years. He just likes the pot stirred. He likes people talking about it. He'd rather have negative publicity than no publicity. And that's just part of his nature. No, I'll tell you what, they've been great to me and to our broadcast, and I don't see him all that often, but when I see him, he's very positive, and he's been really good to me.
Is that good? I mean, can I admit that that's probably been good for business for Jerry Jones since he took over, 1988 or 89? Is that
89.
Not true?
Yes, yes, of course it's been good for business, and he knows that. I'll tell you a quick story. I know you were probably short on time. Dez Bryant was getting ready to sign his second contract, and it was the part of the spring where some of the rules were different, and if you didn't sign by a certain date in, like, June, I think it was, then you were going to miss the first 10 weeks of the season or something like that. And so he hadn't signed, and it was coming right up to it, and people were talking about sign him or don't sign him. And I saw him at an event in the spring one day, and I took him aside. I said, listen, I don't really care. I'll clean this up a little. I said, I don't really care if you sign a guy or not, but would you do me a favor and just do something? Cause this is getting really tiresome. And he said, well, if we did that, we'd have to find something else for people to talk about. He likes it. He likes all the hub, but he does not meddle in things that are not, I'm going to say, his purview. And he does not integrate himself into the daily operation of the club to a tenth of what most people think.
So how much, well, that's really incredible stuff, by the way. Brad Sham joining us on the show. How much is there to the truth about the Mike McCarthy, Jerry Jones rift then?
Well, if there was a big rift, then Mike wouldn't be here.
True.
I mean, the perception is fed by the fact that Mike doesn't have a contract. I mean, one of the things that's interesting to me about this year is I've never seen a situation where a team go, and I think I'm right about this, that every member of the coaching staff and all three quarterbacks are out of contract at the end of the year. I've never seen that. And, McCarthy could have left. McCarthy could have said, hey, if you don't want to give me an extension, I've been in the playoffs 3 years in a row. won 12 games 3 years in a row. That hasn't happened here in 30 years. If you don't want to give me an extension, then I'll leave. He could do that, but he's betting on himself. And Jerry could say, you just have not done what we hired you to do in the playoffs, and so here you can now go away. Then you've got to pay him for a year of not working. Mm-hmm. And the guy's obviously a good coach. I mean, he's got those skins on the wall. Is he a great coach? I don't know. But he's had an awful lot of success. In the daily interaction that we're able to see and from talking to people not in front of microphones, I think there are things about the job that McCarthy thinks are different than any other job. And he's probably right, because there's a little circus atmosphere to this franchise that does not exist in some other places. But if Mike didn't want to be here, or Jerry didn't want him to be here, he wouldn't be here.
Brad, we can't thank you enough for the time. All the best. Enjoy your time here in Cleveland coming up this weekend.
Yep. Always like coming to Cleveland. Thanks, guys.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Brad Sham, Cowboys Radio Network, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. That's Brad Sham with us earlier this morning. Well, actually, just a few moments ago. Cowboys voice, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys, Cowboys Radio Network here on Cleveland Radio. What'd you think what he said about Jerry Jones right there?
I think our first instinct...
That was a weird way to get out of it, but there we go.
I think our first instinct is to not buy it, right? Like, your instinct, based on everything you've been told about the owner over the years, is that he is the meddler in sports. I mean, he's the modern-day George Steinbrenner. That he is the owner, the GM. At times, people think he might be the coach. I mean, he's everything, which... You know, you think about, yeah, they haven't won a Super Bowl in a really long time, and they haven't really had a bunch
of... No, I don't think he's the modern-day George Steinbrenner. You know who I think it is.
Oh, who's that?
Dan Gilbert.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't get kicked out of the NBA. Like, George Steinbrenner got kicked out of Major League Baseball for a while, but Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert fired Mike Brown. He has made very strong decisions for his team. He's been very public. Is a man who is a big basketball fan. George Steinbrenner was clearly a big baseball fan. Never threatened to move the team just to upset people. Never had that in him. Mm-hmm. But I think George Steinbrenner was one of a kind, but if I was going to compare anybody to George Steinbrenner, it'd be Dan Gilbert. It's a very hands-on owner.
Yeah, well, the Dan thing is interesting because due to health reasons, he stepped away. Now, he was more visible the last year.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of question about, like, for instance, Kenny Atkinson. Who is responsible for Kenny Atkinson? And some people around the team say, no, that was a Kobe Altman decision. It was a Kobe Altman decision.
Okay.
And other people say, oh, it had to be Dan because they wanted to go in another direction.
Things were Brian Cashman decisions for a very long time. We talked about his son possibly taking over the team. Then I believe what he did, there was the rumor that the son stepped away recently. I mean, they've gone through it with the Steinbrenners before and those children and running the organization. And man, that's nothing against them. The Yankees were a very popular, successful organization for a long time. They still spend money like crazy. Successful, I mean, that's an arguable thing. But I mean, the Cavaliers were a very successful organization for a long time, won a championship. And right now, you'd have to admit that they are successful, just not to the level that some people want them to be. But they're a successful organization. They draw a lot of fans. They finish with a winning record. They've been to the playoffs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Of the last few years, they've been successful.
Yeah, I would ask, because I think a lot of people, when they think meddling owners, the first name that comes up in sports.
This time
right now. Well, no, just right now.
Oh, Jerry Jones.
It's Jerry Jones. If he truly is the GM, the guy drafting the players, like he will just come in and tell them who to draft, which is what I think a lot of people do think is what has happened there over years.
What
does that with the amount of wins that they've been able to get, like there's so many GMs that are way worse than Jerry Jones then. Like in some ways, does it give you respect for him as a football owner?
He knows enough to be dangerous. He knows it up because Stephen Jones is definitely involved in that a lot, and they got other people involved in there. I get it. But damn, you think about it. All right. Like, I'm sure he wants credit for it because he's the owner and he's a very visible owner. And he's probably one of the most popular owners in all of sports, or at least well known. I mean, Dak Prescott was a fourth-round quarterback. Dak Prescott finished second in MVP voting. We're arguing whether or not Dak Prescott's elite. He's a fourth-round quarterback.
The last 20 years, they've had oodles of talent all over the board. And if he's the guy, like, is he a better GM than Ray Farmer, Jerry Jones? So, I mean, that's what you'd have to ask. I guess we're not there to see
Is Jerry Jones a better general manager than Michael Lombardi?
Right.
Is Jerry Jones a better general manager than... Did Tom Hecker get enough time to be a general manager here?
Yeah.
He didn't do too bad at all.
What do you have?
Rest in peace.
Did he have one draft or two?
A couple, and those ended up being pretty decent draft picks. We're always doing the same thing. We're looking for quarterbacks. Damn, you're right. If we're going to compare him to Browns general managers, been a pretty good general manager, Jerry Jones has been. So, yeah, but people don't like that.
You remember
people like
how
a system
nervous.
Of checks and balances. They don't want the owner... to have, even though it's always going to be the owner's team, they always have the final say no matter what.
They have to sign off on the big moves. Yeah.
They don't want that person being the person that can go in. Because they ultimately, fans do not want their owners to act like them. They do not want it. They say they do. They don't. They do not want to get mad. They do not want somebody to get mad and go in there and just fire somebody willy-nilly. They would be willing to do it. They also know they've been drinking all day and sitting in Section 537. They don't want to do that. They want somebody who they know is in. They want a system of checks and balances. So if Kenny Carman was sitting up in 537 and got really mad on Sunday, went, damn it, Kevin Stefanski's going to go. No, Kenny Carman wants a guy like Andrew Berry going, no, we're not going to do that. Don't, no. No, 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 no.
You just gave me a great idea.
Go ahead, what?
537 boys or whatever, the representative of the fans in general.
The 537 boys, yes.
They should be able to draft. The organization should narrow down their last round pick. They should be able to narrow that down to 5 names, and then it's a poll. And the Browns fans get to vote on who the last pick of the draft is. Love it. And then it's on them. If the player sucks, it's on the fans. And they should come out and say, yeah, we loved our first... however many draft picks. But fans really let us down this year.
So do you do
you
like...
You guys got to do your research next year.
Is it like, this is not a bad idea. Let me go a step further with this. Is it like the music between the third and the fourth quarter where you have 4 choices?
Yes.
That's exactly what I thought of.
But what if there's a 5th person that people like?
Yeah, write-in votes.
I guess you could do write-in votes.
If you know what the ratings would be in Cleveland for that final pick. Now they go fast. So those names go off the board. So
why can't the Packers do that? They're the team that brags about being publicly owned. Why can't the Packers just do that?
Let us have a stake in it. Can you imagine how much more?
It's got to be real time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they used to do it on America's Funniest Home Videos where the crowd voted for the winner right
Why
there.
Why do I not hate this
We've
idea?
We've got the betting apps. Yeah. The betting apps have all this stuff in real time, and then they lock you out once certain play has gone down.
Why do I love this idea so much? Why is this such a great idea?
Think of how
So the seventh round pick.
Year.
It has to be a seventh round pick. It can't be six.
Yeah,
and it has to be the last.
And it has to be the last seventh round pick that you make.
So think of how beautiful this would be.
That this is good
throughout
stuff.
The year, the Browns social media say, hey, might want to watch this Southeast Louisiana State game. Might be something you want to watch. Might be a player that we might ask you to vote on later on. And then when the player gets taken, can you imagine who is the guy that did the Snoop? Snoopy Wright. Wasn't that the player? Scooby Wright. What round pick was Scooby Wright?
I think it was a sixth round pick.
Okay, so that wouldn't work. But imagine if that player gets selected and they say, the Cleveland Browns fans have selected, whoever.
Would there be a Brock Purdy right now if this was...
And the fans are the ones that pick the player.
Wow.
Not the team, not the organization. The fans get the credit.
We are
the best drafting fans in the land.
What is the most draft picks we've ever had in a draft? Didn't we have like 14 one year?
I thought we had 13 one year, yeah.
Yeah. All right. You have to have a certain amount of draft picks. If you have four draft picks in a draft, you can't be letting the fans draft the seventh round.
That's got to be a loaded draft.
It's got to be a loaded draft. So if I had a...
What a great gimmick this would be to get people fired up. Can you imagine if Cleveland was hosting that draft? If we got a redo because of the COVID draft? Do you know how many fans would show up and get liquored up for that seventh round?
Isn't there pressure on the front office to keep that player? On the 53-man roster.
That adds to the intrigue, though. Sports talk radio. All right,
Scooby Wright was a seventh-round pick. I beg your pardon. You're right. He was a seventh-round pick.
Can you imagine we're getting close to the end of training camp? Folks, they are talking about cutting your guy. They'd want to see that guy in the preseason.
My gosh.
So much more.
Giving him a chance.
You don't even
have him out there on the field.
Right. You got to give him a chance. Come on. You can't just cut the guy. The city was locked in.
You would have signs. There's always local kids. You would have signs out in front yards to try to get guys signed or drafted. Listen, you've had way worse ideas. Either I'm getting dumber or you're getting smarter. Because your ideas are getting better and better as time goes on.
Why not both?
Why can't we just meet in the middle?
I mean,
that is a pretty damn good idea. I mean, there are several pitfalls that I can think of.
Oh, there are thousands.
Don't say the word good. That's a pretty fun idea. I don't know that's a good idea at all.
You have no idea. What if he becomes Shannon Sharp? Shannon Sharp was a seventh-round pick. What if that guy becomes the next Shannon Sharp?
If they're tight ends, what if they become Aaron Hernandez?
I was going to say Terrell Davis. You said Aaron Hernandez. Hey, get documentary out of it.
I can't believe you took it there. And you took it to where everybody was thinking. Well, then that's on the fans.
Yeah, fans got to do their due diligence.
Yeah, the fans got to do their due diligence.
Fans
are going to
be calling high school coaches. Hey, I got some call from Eric of 537. wants to know who your parents are. We can ask the tough questions just like the GMs.
Who's that kid down at OU, Mason Williams, I think it is, from Mogador? Get Matador's phone ringing down in Mogador. We're going to need a tight end in a few years to back up David.
Have lit up.
Yeah, let's see how this one goes. Hope I'm saying that kid's name right. 216-474-0092. That's a pretty good idea. Coming up next, you're putting yourself through hell just so you could feel better, which I think you're making a terrible mistake. Mitch, please.
All right, guys, I'm so excited to get to this one. The 12th straight loss for the White Sox last night, a 9-0 loss to the Baltimore Orioles. By the way, that's the third 12-game losing streak this season the White Sox have had. The tensions seem to be boiling over in Chicago at this point in the year because a friendly face of ours got ejected for the first time as manager last night. This audio courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago.
Oh, sorry, Steve.
And that's it.
It looks like Grady Sizemore has been tossed, and he is hot. He said, two nights in a row, you are squeezing the strike zone of my guys. And you know what? Grady's right. It's been a bad night for Hunter Wendelstedt.
Hunter's getting up in Grady's face.
Oh, we gave him an F-bomb.
Well,
Hunter, we could read lips, my man. Grady Sizemore sticking up for his guys.
What do you think?
I think we can read lips, my man. I agree with Schriff there. That's why we love Schriffin, and that's why this show is always going to go down as an advocate for Mr. Schriffin. And Steve Stone, of course, Northeast Ohio native. So what, they were bitching about balls and strikes in a...
They were doing some complaining about the balls and strikes.
In a 9-0 game?
Yeah. I think that's why the umpire got back in his face.
Probably. What else did he miss? Did we miss some of the perspective on what else was said, or was it just F-bombs?
We did have a clip from Ozzie Guillen in the White Sox post-game show regarding the call, and he got a little personal with Wendelstedt as well.
Pro to Sizemore. Finally, I see a manager out there. You know what? I hate that.
Wow, look what he just did there.
Wendelstedt, I hate that. Look what he's saying.
Wow, he just gave an F-bomb.
I swear to God. Yes, he did.
Wow.
He did. Major League Baseball.
He's bigger than the game.
He's bigger than anything out. Look at how fat he is. He should be embarrassed and wear that uniform.
Who else is on
that? He shouldn't have done. I don't think the umpire should have done that.
There was Frank Thomas on there, and I have to get the other names here in a second.
All right.
Frank Thomas is on the pills, so I mean, he's good.
That's true.
Yeah.
If they go 10
that's
and
some good testosterone he got going on there.
Check my math here. If they go 10-19, that will secure
Frank has a lean mass. I'm sorry. Okay,
the worst record in 162 game MLB history. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yes, the modern era, which is set by the 62 Mets.
Okay, so
you're talking about the Spiders record.
Oh. No. I have the Tigers at 43-119.
Okay, so yeah, that's 162 games. You are correct. The Mets record was 40-120.
Okay.
But that should have been 162 that year.
Okay, so what's the number that people are talking about baseball-wise?
It should be the Mets record. The Mets in the modern era since 1901 have the most losses posted for an entire year at 120. It's not the 1899 Cleveland Spiders who had 134 losses before the modernization of baseball.
This is not a number that I see get trotted out there because so few teams have even come close to this. So
yeah, it's really bad.
This is pretty remarkable that even in that sport where... we used to joke about whether a college team could take a few here and there from a Major League Baseball team just because of the vagaries of baseball.
Well, they can and they have because of the vagaries of baseball, yes.
But that's not happening with this White Sox team. They aren't taking a few here and there. Like, they are getting obliterated.
Yeah.
Three losing streaks that have been north
12
of 12 games.
Yep.
Okay.
That's terrible.
I mean, this is not going to be matched, is it?
I don't think so. They can't, and because of their market, they can't even get in the lottery. Like, I think the best that they can draft is maybe 12th or 11th.
Come on.
Like, they can't because they're in too big a market, so they can't even take advantage of that. So this is just a bad team that's poorly put together in every single way. Like, you can't even claim tanking with this
team.
All right,
so I'm guessing, since I don't know anything about gambling, I'm guessing that at some point Vegas made it so that if an idiot like me said, well, why wouldn't you just pick the White Sox money line against them every game?
Hmm.
I'm sure they've made the odds so ridiculous that wouldn't even be worth it. Because if they went on a two-game winning streak, you would get bankrupted.
Yes. Basically, yes. That would be as bad as it gets.
I would love to know if somebody's been on board all year betting against the White Sox, how much money they made. Because how long would
it have
taken?
Enough to buy a house at this point.
I also just... Ken, I don't know that that's true that they can't be in the lottery because of their market size. Because they were in the lottery last year. I'm looking at last year.
Well, then I was told something different.
Yeah. I think it has to do with, it says here, Washington was not in it because they are a payer club. They actually make more revenue than they spend.
Okay.
I don't know where the White Sox stand on that. I'm sure they drew 17 people at a game.
I'm not trying to be nasty about anything like this. I'm going to take your word for it, but I did hear it from a very, 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 very good source.
No, hold
that's
on.
That's good. I'm reading it on MLB.
Okay. I heard it from somebody who has their facts
Well,
wrong.
Name your sources then.
No, I'm not going to name my
sources.
Well,
then you can't say anything.
I can't admit I was listening to somebody else at another place. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that on the air.
I think they have a lot of their money tied up in Schriff. He's coming back.
There we go.
They made that announcement already,
Speaking
right?
Speaking of baseball and guys on the air, can we get to the Jeff Phelps audio, please?
What do we got?
Thank you. Please hit it.
Teams of the 90s and the early 2000s had great chances to win. They didn't. Doesn't mean those weren't great teams, and it doesn't mean that it wasn't well done all the way around. This team doesn't begin to compare with them, but they're winning. They're playing really good baseball for most of the season. There have been some stretches that aren't so hot. They just lost 9-12. Well, now they've won 4 or 5, but they keep bouncing back, and it's that resilience that I think is just the most impressive thing about this team. It's one of the most unexpectedly good seasons in any sport I've ever seen. In this city. Just stunning to me.
Do they deserve more credit? Are we holding back? Are we trying to hold back our feelings so we don't get let down? So we don't feel we get let down.
I think that could be part of it.
Because I think people are putting themselves through more trying to not get their hopes up about the Guardians.
They were left for dead last week. I called it a collapse, and I was on the bandwagon for as long as I possibly could, and then saw what happened last week, and I'm like, oh my God. I mean, it looks like they're not a major league lineup. But just like that, Naylor gets on board. I hope he's okay. He had the back spasms. He left the game with yesterday. They said it's no big deal. But between him, Rocchio, I mean, where did this come from the last few games? The guys are starting to maybe heat up except for Kwan. And so I keep thinking in the back of my head, if Kwan gets going.
Yeah, Kwan will knock it out and he'll be good.
All of them to get hot when we need him to be hot.
Even though he's now all the way under 300. But, so the pitching though, too, this is key. You are now getting legitimate starts by Boyd, by Cobb, Bybee, Gavin Williams. Just like that,
yeah.
It seems like you've got a rotation that you can have some confidence
do
in.
Do you believe then that we should be giving them more credit than what they've been given? As a fan base. Now, as a fan base.
I understand Owen called me out on it because I keep bringing up past 60 games, 70 games, 80 games. They're 500 team the last 80 games. That's a long stretch to be pretty average. But their pitching starts to come around.
Some would call it half a season.
But if their pitching comes around like this, they haven't had that pitching.
That pitching's coming around, though. I mean, you got a good setup right there. Alex Cobb pitched better ever since he got rid of the fingernail. That's good.
Yep.
Matt Boyd's come back pretty strong. But last week, it was all doom and gloom and that these guys weren't enough. And I think that people are trying to protect their feelings because I don't think they want to get worked up. And I do think, to be honest with you, with some of the general fans, I do think some of the worry about how the Browns are going to go this year plays into the Guardians. I do. I think sports bleed over to one another. I think that good vibes can carry over to other teams. I totally believe that, and I think that bad vibes or lack of good vibes can carry over to others. Yes.
I have a new segment called Addendums. You cannot have a lottery pick 2 years in a row if you are called large market team.
Okay.
That's where it's at.
Boom. There it is. Boom. Okay, so.
So they can't be inside the top 10 here.
All right, there we go. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Everyone's right. Still name your source.
Boy, Schriffen's not going to be happy with that.
That's the source.
I don't want to because I don't want anybody to think. Like, I must have misheard him then, and I don't want anybody to think he's too good a guy.
This year,
he's
but
too good a man.
2026.
I mean, everybody knows who I'm talking about. I don't need to say his name. He's a good man and thorough. And I probably misheard him and didn't hear the second year thing. That's my fault, not his. Even if it was, I wouldn't blame him. Big thanks to everybody who joined us today. Brad Sham was great.
Do you think Ja'Marr Chase gets signed by the end of the day?
No, I do not.
Oh, and shaking his head too.
No, they're going to be selling old VCRs out of that stadium by the end of the day to do so. So what the hell?
Not good.
Why are we doing this?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.